Welcome to Dial In for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. I'm Mara Eakin, AV Club Senior Editor, and I'm here with Cameron Sheets.
Hi.
Cameron, would you like to introduce our special guest?
Yeah, I'm so, so excited that we were able to do this. This is kind of like our special, like, Thanksgiving treat.
Mm-hmm. Since that's what no we said. We said it's like our little pumpkin pie.
Yeah. But this is so great. We're here with Sherry Chung, who is one of two composers for Riverdale. I don't know. I think we have a lot of questions about process. I don't know. I'm going to try and hold myself back a little bit because I just want to like gush. But we're so excited to have you here, Sherry.
It's great to be here. Thank you, guys.
So I guess, and we are so excited. The first question I would say, just sort of like, tell us what your job is and like what you do on the show. Like we of course know.
of course, but, yeah. For those who do not. So I am one of two composers, as you mentioned. So our job is to put instrumental music to the show, and sort of we use the term like underscore and just, you know, kind of support the drama and help create a nice sonic world for these amazing characters to live and play in and entertain us all.
And how long have you been at the show?
Since the very beginning, since the pilot. So we're in our third season now, and hopefully many more to come.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been around since the beginning too, in terms of being fans.
Well, yeah.
even before, like, I had heard such great things about the show before it even launched. Yeah. Like, the people that saw it, like, before TCAs or whatever were just like, oh man, you gotta watch it. Like, even check out the trailer. Like, it's crazy.
But also, I mean, there are people that came in the show having already been like Archie comics fans. Was that something you were familiar with at all?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And my parents were like really excited. They're like, oh, you know, Sherry, these are like the Archie comics. And I'm like, I don't think this is the same thing.
Yeah,
you know,
like 50s.
Yeah, it's very, very, very different take on the whole thing.
So. How did you end up? I mean, tell us about like some of the stuff you've done in the past and how you ended up working with the show.
So this is a Greg Berlanti show, as you know, as there are many. And so oftentimes he uses one of the same composers that he always uses, Blake Neely, who's, you know, obviously very talented and his span of work is really great. So I started working with Blake on some of his superhero shows. And then when Riverdale came in, it was like, oh my goodness, you know, let's try and do this. Let's try and create this together. And so we just, you know, kind of went from there and just sort of collaborated and then built it from the bottom up.
Did it take any, like, did you need any convincing to want to work on this? I mean, I imagine
No, I mean, it was what's cool is that you never know when you first see a show or a pilot, you don't know where it's going to go. I mean, not even just like how popular it will be, but you don't know where the stories are going to go. It's not like a film where you watch the beginning and the end and you see what's happening. It's like a show that can go on for any number of years. So I think that's really exciting about it.
So when you say like, when you guys are like, let's try and do this, like, did you have a vision? Like, how did you get pitched the show where they're like, okay, it's going to be this reimagining of the Archie comic, you know what I mean? Like, what came to you, and then how do you have a vision of where you want to take the music?
I mean, I think that's kind of what happened from the beginning. We're just like, hey, this is going to be a spinoff. We're going to kind of be Archie comics. And and because Blake, and then even I at the time, was working so much in the superhero world, we're just like, oh, okay, we're just sticking with comic books. I mean, this is not superheroes, but this is still comic books. So we kind of didn't really know what to expect. But the conversations with, you know, the creator Roberto and you know, the other producers kind of, you know, they sort of shape it and say, oh, we really want something like this. It's, you know, pretty dark. It's pretty stylized, you know. And then we kind of think about, well, what is the function of the score? Like, what's the music really supposed to do? And one of the things that I remember Blake even saying, that like one of his big ideas was like, let's make it like a warm blanket, where it's like when people watch it, it just kind of envelops you. Not necessarily like safety warm and like fuzzy warm, but like the kind of thing where it's like you can really immerse yourself in the whole thing. So I think that was one of the goals that we had in creating the sound, is something that's stylized. Cool. And when you hear it, hopefully it's like it kind of puts you right in the world.
Yeah.
When you get on a show like that, are people sending you sort of like examples of like, okay, we like Twin Peaks, we like this, we like, you know, we like this song, this like old Cat Stevens song. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's mood board.
Yeah, a lot of times you get like, you know, these, they call it temp score, you know, for temporary score and temporary ideas. And a lot of times that's helpful, I think, for like studios and, you know, and even like editors and people just building the story. I think it's really helpful to just hear music. I think all of us, if we were to watch anything on TV or film, like dry with no music, I think that would just be, you know, it's, so I just think having something temporary in there works. But as composers, we like to just, we get the idea, we turn it off and say, but we don't want to create something that's like Twin Peaks, that's already been done. We want to create something different. So then we take the idea and the approach and just at least think about it, but it's just, then we kind of set it aside, come up with our own ideas.
Yeah, I mean, So something specific to this show is like, these are such iconic characters in terms of, I guess, just plain iconography and the way they look and everything. But I feel like it gave you then probably a pretty big playground to play with, like with Betty. Like Betty has her own theme on the show that you come back to. What went into like developing that sound specifically?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, like you don't think of the, I mean, yes, Archie is an iconic character just in, given in the sense of like the Archie comics, but we kind of quickly realized that these characters were not, it's kind of like when they.
How do you represent abs on Sonic?
But like there's like, it's almost like they didn't change the names and the faces and to protect the innocent, but they just changed everything else. So it's kind of, it was just really fun to create something entirely new. Sorry, I totally forgot your question. What was
I guess I was specifically asking about Betty, but just in terms of like, what do you put into like coming up with these themes for specific characters? Or what do you think about when you're doing this?
I think it's a lot of, you know, what, you know, finding the words that we think represent them. Mm-hmm. Like, so not even musical terms. Like, oh, Betty is like high-pitched noises and or something like that. But I like, you know, for Archie, it was like, he's so good. He's so earnest. Mm-hmm. He's so pure and innocent. And so then those are the words we might attach to a character. And like, what are those sounds that we, you know, that's why we came up with like guitar.
Yeah.
You know, because it's such a, you know, earthy, hearty, pure instrument in a lot of ways, but that can be, of course, manipulated. And then, like, even with, like, the lodges and Hiram, it's like, and well, even before we met Hiram, because he wasn't in the first season, just his entity was. But for them, it's like, oh, they're just, I mean, they're dark, they're mafia, it's, there's, like, Catholic in there, there's just, like, there's, you know, there's a lot of, so we kind of come up with adjectives or things that make us think of those characters and then explore sounds that we think kind of convey that and portray those.
Now that you're saying this, I totally understand that. And I get it. So now I want to know, you know, Archie's guitar, the lodges are like what instruments are you using for the lodges or what instrument are you using for Jughead and FP or.
Yeah, those are good questions. So we did decide very early on that it wasn't going to be a hugely musically thematic show, like as in like melodies that would be like this, not like superheroes and stuff. But we did say that, you know, textures and certain sounds could be used globally, but can also be used for certain characters. So like with the lodges, I mean, we like, you know, organ types of things, you know, very churchy things. But then even with like the blossoms and even the lodges, there's sort of this like nefarious, you know, there's always very high pitched, you know, sometimes it's strings, sometimes it's, I like using like bowed glasses, like that kind of sound. Just, it's just like, what is, you know, it's something piercing, it's something like over the top. It's, I mean, like, oh, like on top, it's like, you know, questionable.
It sounds like Nana Rose.
Yeah.
Yes, sure yes. Oh, Nana.
We are Nana big Rose. Nana Rose fans.
Right?
Her, like, I want to have a t-shirt with her face on it, basically.
And her creepy eye.
Yeah. Like, oh, my gosh. Amazing. And that little shock of red hair.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I think that I'm, like, really, now as we're talking about this, I'm curious about, like, what, I mean, what is your day-to-day? What does a normal day look like for you, I guess, when you're working on this show?
You know, can I ask?
Oh,
let's set this up. Yeah. I mean, to add on to that, sort of, like, even maybe not even the day-to-day, but, like there's a new episode.
Yeah.
What are you getting? How far out are you getting it? Work us maybe through like a day to day, meaning like an episode to episode.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So we'll get the show and we go through it I would say there's about maybe a week turnaround, like, you know, from getting the show to like when we need to, you know, finish it and turn
How
it in.
How far out are you getting it?
I mean, it's about a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're working on like December episodes right now.
I'm not sure when they air, but like for instance, for some of like the ones that have already, like where sometimes it catches up. It's like I'm not really that far ahead of the audience at this point. But then sometimes we're like when we first start, we're like, you know, weeks and weeks ahead. And then it's like, oh, we're kind of caught up.
In the summer, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we get the episode and, you know, Blake and I will sit, we'll watch it, we'll say, okay, what, you know. And usually because this show is so outrageous and awesome and they just go in crazy directions, we usually get, you know, some notes and have conversations with showrunners and with, you know, some, you know, and just kind of get an idea of like what crazy is happening on the show. Like for the 80s episode, it's like, okay, guys, we're doing this. Go as 80s as you want.
Yeah.
You know, go as crazy. And like even for like Black Hood stuff, it's like if there's anything that we need to know, because we don't like to know, like we didn't want to know who the Black Hood was. So we didn't find out until the episode that it's revealed.
Purity.
Exactly. It's like, because we want to be, you know, we don't want to inadvertently give it away musically.
Right.
We also just like to be, we're audience members too. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, and first impressions are really important when I think when we're writing to the show. So, but if there's anything that we do need to know, like, okay, we're introducing this character and this character is going to be a thing. So we need a sound for this character. So it's good to know like some of those bigger ones, but then we do sit and we say, okay, this is the sort of the idea of this particular episode, and here are the things we need to establish, and here are the things we want to, you know, really emphasize, and, you know, if there's any sort of, you know, directions mm-hmm. in that way. So then we go through and we go off and we start writing, we come together, we bring it back. We're like, oh, that's awesome. I'll look through a lot of Blake's stuff. Blake's will look through mine. And, you know, and a lot of times we'll find, you know, like, oh, if Hiram appears in this scene, but he's also in this scene with these other characters, and maybe, you know, I'm working on that, and he'll be like, oh, that's a really cool sound. Let's use that same sound. You know, tell me what those sounds were so we can pull that in and tie it together. And I think that's a really cool part of the collaboration process. Definitely. On this show.
I think because you brought it up, I wanted to talk about the Midnight Club and like coming up with the 80s version of like mm-hmm. the main theme, but also how was that experience?
Yeah, well, I mean, the 80s thing was like super, super fun because they were like, again, do like just go
was
there.
Was it 80s?
Well,
see, such a it's weird, questionable yes. because it was kind of early 90s. It's yeah. kind of, I mean, when you look at the clothes in the early 90s, but yes. then a lot of that temp, or not the temp, sorry, the Source songs. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know if all the Source ones are from
like Dream Warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That song's not super grungy, but if you're talking about like it was the early 90s, you'd think they'd be like a grunge band. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was kind of.
It was all of it, a little.
It was, okay, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's a blur.
It's fun, yeah.
It's Riverdale. What decade are we in ever?
A lot of kids that are
ever?
Watching don't really know. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What
like
time
a lot
is
of
it?
Kids exactly. are like, David Bell, 80s. You're like, not really.
I said the same thing because I was like, oh, you know. But it was a very cool opportunity to kind of look up some, remind, like, how does some of that music even sound? Mm-hmm. Like, what makes mm-hmm. it 80s or early 90s? Or like, what makes it sound that way? So that was really fun.
So, I was going to ask what you found. Like, what were you going for then? Like,
yeah, I mean, so. I mean, obviously, okay, so the part of it was like, okay, how do we treat Riverdale in that decade? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. then it's like, oh, to hell with it. Let's just have fun and be in that decade. And like, and Riverdale will fall into it, yeah. you know? And I won't lie, Blake is the one that did the Riverdale theme mm-hmm. in that style. And I just died laughing. He's like, you've got to come listen to this. It's hilarious.
And the title
it's
card too. When
the title card.
It's so good.
Like, Saved by the Bell 90210.
It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah. But then there was one scene where when they're actually in that particular episode, when they're actually in the schoolroom and Keller's son, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, and Mayor McCoy's or former Mayor McCoy's mm-hmm. daughter. Or, wait, not daughter. They are playing.
Oh, wait, it's the teen version.
It's a teen. Yeah. Yes, sorry. Right. The teen. Yes, yes. Keller and former Mayor McCoy. Yeah. Yeah. When they kiss, mm-hmm. it's like, oh yeah. So they're, you know, it's kind of the Breakfast Club scene, yeah, you know, sure. And it's like that one was really cool to do in sort of an 80s, early 90s kind of style. But it's like that was meant to be score and not like a song.
Yeah.
But it was, so that was a situation where it was like, okay, I'm going to do what I normally would do to score this, but I'm just going to choose sounds that I think are distinctly kind of not of the show, but then also distinctly what I would say is more of that sort of genre of sound.
It's fun.
Style.
It's a lot of fun. It seems like you do explore a lot. And I mean, this kind of ties into another question I had. Like, I mean, the show, especially, it seems like there's sometimes a different genre every week. And so, mm-hmm. which is like something that we love about it. I mean, this week's episode, which we've seen, or this will be last week's if you're listening to this, was the heist. Like, it's kind of like the
yes,
prison break.
It's the prison break.
And they're so, it's so good. So fun. And I feel like you probably had to, I mean, do you, when you're like, okay, we're going to be doing like a prison break sort of heist thing, are you then every, on a week to week basis, like looking for new influences from those genres?
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, because mm-hmm. it's such a creative process that I think you need new information and new inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's just great. I mean, I think that's why we love it so much. It's just like you almost never know what you're gonna get in a really fun way.
And that's really cool to hear too, because I feel like I was at a place recently and there was somebody who was like, oh, you do the music, and I was like, oh yeah, and it was a mother and a daughter. Mm-hmm. So which is totally hitting the demographic.
Yeah.
And the mom was like, I can't, you know, my daughter was really into this, and then, you know, and she was saying something like I can't believe. Like that, she's like, then I got hooked into it. She's like, why am I hooked? And I'm like, there's a nostalgia thing to it. There's something for everybody.
It's good. It's good. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I could watch this for like 8-year-olds. Do you know?
Yeah.
I mean? It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, because it's fun. It's self-aware. It doesn't take itself too terribly seriously. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that we really try to do with the music as well. That like, there are parameters, but there aren't really rules. And I think that that's mm-hmm. really important. So we, you know, I think that's what makes it fun and gives us the inspiration and like the tools to keep coming up with something new and something, you know, a little bit outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Are there, so, I mean, other shows you work on, I know Blind Spot. Like I Said mm-hmm. Tomorrow, just to name a few. Is there something, does Riverdale present unique challenges or things to explore with that
yeah.
these shows don't?
I think so. And I think that we've mentioned it before. It's like, you know, with some of those other shows, it's a very specific sound palette. And yes, it's a sandbox that is, you know, there's a lot you can play and do all kinds of things in it with it. But I think, you know, when I was working on the superhero shows, it's a very much more specifically, you know, just a sort of an orchestral world. It's also hybrid. So it's like synthesizers and orchestra. And with Riverdale, we kind of disguise a lot of the instruments that we use, or we get to explore new sounds, like it's not a violin and it's not like a tuba, and there's only so many things that you can do with those particular instruments. But on something that's, you know, they're synthesized instruments, they're not really live ones, and they're also like heavily manipulated, so it's like and tweaked and stuff like that. So I feel like that in and of itself can just open up, you know, just even putting like filters on things and different kinds of plugins, you actually have the opportunity to, you know, just change a sound. Like, oh, this is a sound I used on Hiram, but what I wonder if we like were to take a filter off or put or add one on, how does that change and how can that be used for Hiram in this other situation because he's doing something different?
Yeah. Is it Hiram in a suit or is it wrestling Hiram?
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. Or is it young Hiram?
Or a young Hiram, right?
Right?
No, did you use the same motifs like for, I mean, if we're talking about the 80s, 90s episode, did you use like the same, like, it was still Hiram, but it was young Hiram. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was Fred, but it wasn't Fred.
Like, yeah, I mean, I'd like to say that, of course, we did, you know, but I think I think in that for that episode, I know we were really trying to develop the Griffins and Gargoyles game and just sort of the backstory of that. So I think there was a lot of focus put on that part of the game and, you know, I mean, on that part of the storyline.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's this, like, what's the oral AU? Ariel.
Aural.
We say that all the time, like
on the,
on the podcast, and it's just like, but I don't mean that kind of phallus. You know, what's the motif version of Griffins and Gargoyles?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So the only thing we needed to know when we had the conversation that kicks off every season, like, okay, what's the big over art? Like last it was Black Hood, you know, this time it's like, you know, this gargoyle. Okay. All we heard was swamp goth. We're like, what?
That checks out.
Oh my God.
Right? So absolutely. Like, what does that mean? So we're like, Blake and I, okay, oh, I don't know. You know, here's some sounds. What do we think?
Yeah.
You know?
It's not like Alan Toussaint. It's like something else.
Yeah. And of course, since we keep exploring like what this thing is, and we don't know, like Blake and I do not know because we don't want to know. I don't know if it's like, if it's mystical, if it's a person dressed up in a costume.
I think it's two nuns standing on top of each other.
That is the current working theory. Right. It's two of the sisters of choir mercy.
That's
of course,
awesome.
Naturally.
Or it's, what was the other one today?
Tall boy? Well, that recently.
Oh, tall boy. Oh, poor
tall boy. We think he's still around, but.
I know. He was exiled and then he was found.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dead.
Oh, it was Grundy. Someone, a reader, a listener said it was Grundy.
Grundy is back. Oh. Nobody's dead for
poor
sure.
Poor Grundy.
Yeah. But
could
yeah,
be
so
Jason. Maybe it's Jason.
I mean, he's around.
I mean, the actor. Yeah, he was in the episode. Anyways.
He was.
Awful story. I keep thinking about that Penelope story from that.
Oh, that's really dark.
It's
really
dark. I know. Yeah. I know. But it does explain a lot.
It does. You know,
I haven't stopped thinking about swamp goth since you said it.
Swamp goth. Oh, yeah. So what does that even mean? Okay, so I mean, but things like that, it's like that's what we do all the time to ourselves and things that are done to us. Like, okay, we give us a phrase that has nothing to do with music at all. And then all of a sudden, and now you just have to kind of interpret it. So we did, that was one where Blake and I definitely like brainstormed together. And then we like, okay, this is how, you know, I'm going to have this idea and I'm going to add this idea. And then I think this will work. And so I think that's what we're trying to do with that. I mean, I think that was our approach, which is to kind of create this, like, what is that musically to match with the, what is that visually?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Yeah, that's good. I don't know how to explain that, but like, cause you know, in your head, you're like, oh, you could go like this crazy, like a medieval lyres. Do you know what I mean? Like when you hear like a Griffins and Gargoyles, like you can think like, oh, it's like a Lord of the Rings music.
Right,
do you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
But it's not that. Like,
yeah. Or
not
what would,
in the show.
What's the game that it's clearly it's
Dungeons and Dragons.
Thank you. Yeah. Which I don't know what that would sound like musically. I mean, probably very like Renaissance-y or medieval,
yeah,
but this
Game
is not, this is like, what is
epic metal. Do you know what I mean? Like soaring guitars. Like,
yeah.
I really love the fact that for the most part, you are kind of working through this in the same way that we are as like viewers from week to week, where you're just like kind of figuring out as you go and mm-hmm. like telling the story with the music based off of what you learn week to week. I don't know. I think that's really, really cool. And it like helps the score.
I feel like it does. I mm-hmm. mean, because there have been times where we have known something and it's mm-hmm. like, no.
Yeah, right.
But we had to know it because, again, we had to know that this thing was coming back or that, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I
think
it's
actually
good. Can you give us an example? I mean, in the past.
Yeah, right.
Things we would know.
I don't think in the past. Well, we did kind of catch on to the Black Hood.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We did.
Same. I mean, who didn't? Yeah.
I mean, although it did, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's some fun things that they're doing with the Gargoyle King, you know, too. Okay. But we're like,
cool.
And you know?
Red Herrings. No, that one we don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless we have already guessed it and they just.
Sure.
Because
sure.
when they come over to like, listen, they're just, you know, they're like, maybe, you know, maybe. And I'm like, oh, it's him, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, so they're, mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell if they're good liars or not, but they.
This yeah. should be the time to PSA, like, if anyone sees Sherry in the street, she doesn't know anything.
I don't know anything.
Don't harass her.
Yeah.
She's got no spoilers. Well, maybe a few episodes ahead.
I know.
But.
I wonder if the actors know. I wonder if they do. I wonder if Hal knew that he was mm-hmm. the Black Hood.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like in interviews, they always have to at least act like they only know week to week because, you know, they get asked on, like, Andy Cohen's show, they have to be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But did you...
I mean, they're also actors.
Yeah.
They could just be really
they're
good.
They're really good.
Acting.
Yeah. Lies. That's all they are.
Has there been a point at time in the process, even when you first started, where you got to meet the cast and talk with them at all? Or is that...
We got to go up and see the set.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my goodness.
Cameron's dream.
I mean,
it's my dream too. But
you know
it's
what?
Like...
And it is a dream come true. Because, and at first I was like, oh, is it going to kind of like, you know, you pull back the curtain, you're like, oh, it's all lost its luster. And it only heightened
that's
it. Cause
so
I'm
cool.
like, this is the lodge's apartment, mm-hmm. penthouse. This is amazing. And like the library, the music, or we're a little bit less in the school right now, but at the time it was like the music school and then, you know, then it's just, you know, it was very cool. And then we did get to see, this is on my list of one of my favorite, musical moments actually. It was, we did get to see them film when they were doing My Milkshake Brings All the Boys.
Oh my gosh.
At Pops, when they were we got to see them like you know, starting to film that you know, and set it up and everything, which I think is as composers, I think it's just really, really inspirational mm-hmm. to see. Because it's not just film, it's not composers, it's specifically for film and TV. So it's specifically for the show that we're creating. And it's mm-hmm. like, it's really inspirational to see the characters in doing their thing. And we did get to talk with them and we met, you know, Kevin and Josie and all the, you know, and Cheryl and all those, you know, and it's really inspirational because I feel like that's what we're doing. We're all helping to create this very, like this completely fictional world, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that when we all can be like visually, it can be inspired. It really translates to the music, I feel like.
Yeah, you're all working together to tell the story. It's almost like a game of Griffins and Gargoyles.
World's bigger almost. Than we know.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? When there is a song in an episode, like your milkshake, should they come to you and say, hey, heads up, there's going to be like, I mean, I guess you'd see it when you get the,
you
know,
yeah.
do you have to kind of weave into it with score?
Mm-hmm. Like, for sure. And like the Carrie musical, that was one of them too. And even, I mean, there's one coming up in this episode that hasn't aired yet that I was pretty proud of myself. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I put that right. Just the handoff was so good into the
That's
song
great.
That was coming in. And I was like, ah, flawless, seamless, stuck the landing, you know? But I mean, but that's part of what we do as well that I mm-hmm. think is in a lot of ways is more of the technical side rather than the creative side.
Yeah.
Although sometimes we do have to creatively get into something where it's like, this is in a tempo that is not at all what, you know, or sometimes we have to just do something else that's musically sort of technically creative to get us into a song. But like the Carrie musical is one of them. And, and even just like creating score around those songs, you know, and even if they're, whether they're sourced or whether they're like more diegetic, like they were singing at Pops or they're singing in the Carrie musical or that kind of thing. But it's a really kind of a fun challenge and part of our job to weave it in and out.
Yeah. I had wondered about that because the musical numbers are like such a huge part of it. And same goes for Alexander Petsavis. Is that how you say the name? Musical supervisor who you've talked to in the past.
Years ago, yes.
Yeah, and she works on the show too. Is there any like sort of conversation with her? Does she ever kind of like let you know what's going into the episode? Or?
We do often know what's going in the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of get notes about that just to kind of see. And we certainly hear, we do actually, we're lucky because we're enough in post where we actually get to hear you know, the song, like the actors have already recorded it, or the source has already been, like the songs that they're just wanting to use that the actors aren't singing, you know, that they're are already kind of in there. So I think that's important for us to have that. So, you know, she's on it and she's awesome because it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I do think Riverdale is like more score-based though than like your OC or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's more,
there's
not, it's not quite as much of like a jukebox musical.
It goes up and down, right? There's sometimes...
I kind of wanted to ask, we were talking about characters a little bit earlier, just curious about like, do you have a personal favorite character? I feel like everybody goes into the show and they're like, oh, I'm a this.
Beyond Nana Rose, of course.
I mean, that's us.
The elusive Nana Rose.
I mean, I'm kind of obsessed with the Lodges, like just across the board, because I see some of me in like Veronica and Hermione and totally Hiram too. Yeah. I'm just like, ooh, devious, what's he's got, you know? But he's such a mastermind that it's, you know. I think the Lodges are ones that I kind of relate to and connect with the most.
I have some burning questions then.
Yeah.
Why does Veronica still live with Hiram?
Why?
Like, why does she move out and get her own place?
You know what I think is interesting about the arc of at least the first few episodes of the season so far? And again, I know only a little bit more than our audience knows at this point. But I think that if you're watching Hiram and you're watching Veronica, there's still a love there. There's a family love, a family.
They do respect each other.
They do. Well, and I think that what's cool about Hiram is that he's enough of a businessman that I think he's actually really interested in what Veronica's going to do business-wise. I think he's like proud of her in a way that's, you know, because was it in the, I know this episode's already aired, but there, you know, he gives her a picture. He gives her the portrait
of
herself.
Her, yeah.
And where does she hang it? She actually hangs it up.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Oh.
But we did talk about that because we were like, oh, there's probably a camera behind it.
We wondered if that was like, there was like his bug or something.
Oh, that's a really, but you know, have you seen also equally that what replaced, like, because remember her portrait used to hang in
his office.
Hiram's office. Mm-hmm. Have you seen what's in his office now since?
Oh, we might not have seen it yet.
It is hilarious.
Okay.
I think it's hilarious. And this is what I think is really great about the show. And again, what we try and do with like the music as well is just like, make it layered where it's like, if you look at all the periphery, there's something there. It's like, if you like just visually, there's something there that like, you know, in this one scene, it's like, oh, there's even something as silly as like, there's a cat. Why is there a cat? Like, or why is there this or why is there? And I feel like musically we try and do the same thing too, where it's like, oh, there's a little sound here. Definitely. There's a little, you know, there's something, I don't know.
It's like the layers give, I mean, the show is just so well made. And we were talking about it just vaguely, like, it is kind of unlike a lot of other stuff on TV right now.
It's very well made. And I think a lot of it's because they give themselves permission to just really like do anything. Mm-hmm. And in turn, we now have permission to do musically anything that we really want to do. You know, I mean, provided it's in the world that we kind of established before, but it's like their world is changing, you know? Mm-hmm. So we can do that too. It's super fun.
Have there been things that you've worked on, like little moments in the past that you've been like, oh, I was really proud of what I did? I mean, I know you mentioned that like there's one coming up, but like things in the past that you're like, man, I was really proud of the way I did that. Mm. The, you know, blankety blank.
Okay, so there's this once, and this is not a bragging thing. This is just, no, the thing was, I think what I'm proud of in this moment, and I'll tell you what the moment is in a second, is because I was super inspired by the actual like visual. And I feel like that, as an artist and as a composer for film and TV, that's what you long for, you know, like besides, you know, the logistical things you have to cover and the, you know, the other parameters you have to sort of stay within or certain, you know, other time deadlines or something like that. It's like, wow, this was one was like purely on inspiration. So it's back in season two and it's the episode, this probably happened over a couple episodes, but there was an episode, a particular scene where FP says to Jughead, because Jug's like, I want to join the Serpents. And FP is like, no, if I'm trying to keep you from this, don't, boy. And it's the scene where they're sitting on their motorbikes on this, like.
Yes. Like, yes.
It is just a gorgeous shot with gorgeous characters and amazing acting and writing. And it's just like this heart-wrenching moment where it's like, this dad just tried to keep him out of this. And he's like, anyway, and so I felt inspired and I wrote something and it's just simple like guitar and pads. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it literally was like, I imagine I'm not an actor, but I imagine if an actor was like, and stuck the landing. And like one take is done. You know, I mean, it's, if that's how, I imagine that's how I'm equating to like, I'm just like really inspired, you know, and I'm kind of proud of the piece and, you know, and it,
I should put it in here.
I want to stay, but I need your blessing.
Just promise me you'll keep writing.
I will. I do every day.
To wrap up, and I know it's tough because maybe you do have a few episodes ahead, but I would, do you have any like big crazy theories about like Gargoyle King or maybe where
things are Hiram's big plan is?
Or even just like dreams for it?
You know, it's funny because there's, again, there's an episode coming up where it's like, wow, they are just going deep with it. I mean, like deep, like deep and layered, like it's already layered. And I just, it is really fun to see how they are, they okay, on the Prison Break one, and this was kind of a good like example of, I think, of other ways that they're really very smartly writing it, you know, where they, like the Prison Break one was really cool because as they were planning, they were playing the game with the Red Paladin, and they were here, they were like kind of acting it out with Archie, and it's like the parallel was just amazing. And it's, and they're kind of doing more of that where they're just connecting a lot of these things and making it like really like something that's happening over here that you think is a completely separate thing, you know, is really tied in and connected. But in terms of like what I hope for, what I wish for, I don't know. I hope that they just keep, like, this sounds like a generic answer, but it's really sincere and genuine. I really hope that they just keep going deeper in with it and not, and letting us come with them, you know, like the entire audience. Because, you know, sometimes they'll say, oh, maybe they stop it because they want to, you know, that maybe it's like too esoteric or it's too like too convoluted. And it's like, no, you know, really just go deeper with it because I think we're all on board for it. Just keep going. Yeah, we're all on board. So just keep going, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, we want to ask you a few other things, but this is a tease for our listeners to also make sure they check out the videos on our site when those come out, because we'll ask you those on video. But I'm excited about that. But thank you, Sherry, so much for sitting down with us.
Yay, thank you, guys.
So excited we got to talk to you.
Sherry Chung, thank you for being here.
Thank you both. Appreciate
and
it.
And everyone, watch Riverdale.
Please. thanks for listening.
check out Dial In for Maple online and check us out on Twitter at Dial In for Maple.
I'm Cameron Cheats.
I'm Mara Egan.
And bye-bye, Bulldogs. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I can teach you, but I have to charge my money.